December the 14th, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalam alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Mother Earth turned man to God. I'm a witness as a student now for about 50 years. A serious student studying the Word of God, studying the way of the world, I am a witness that man has no great achievements whatsoever that he doesn't owe to revealed knowledge. Without revealed knowledge, he would be still drinking out of a skull, seeing women, and beating them over the head with sticks, with tree limbs, and stuff to get his pleasures. But he has been civilized, and the first to be civilized was the one that God guided, who turned back to his God by way of study or research, the creation itself. Man turned to the creation that bored him as his mother, so to speak, and he questioned his mother, and his mother pointed him to his father, symbolically speaking. Metaphorically speaking, God Almighty, this is how that it is correct for a Muslim to use that kind of language. It is not. I used it, I said, metaphorically speaking, and I'm going to clear up the mess by telling you it is forbidden for us to use that kind of language in Al-Islam. There is no metaphor for God. But since the Christian world has that kind of language, it was easy for me to make my point with it. To you, a Western product, so I used it. Adam, as an incomplete creation, it was complete with Muhammad. God said he made his man with his two hands, both his hands. What does this tell us about the man that God has as our first father? We know that he was referring to Adam. But for the scholars in Islam, especially for the blessed scholars in Islam, whose thoughts have been blessed by God, we know that Adam was incomplete when he was made. His completion began with the next prophet and the next prophet and the next prophet until the last one. With the last one, his creation is completed. The creation of Adam is complete. So the creation of Adam was not complete until Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was created. And how did Allah create Muhammad, prayers and the peace? Ar-Rahmanu, the merciful God, the beneficent God, or the merciful benefactor, Khalika Insan, Alima Quran. That's first. Then Khalika Insan, he revealed the Quran, taught it, and then created the person. Muhammad created twice. So Muhammad was created twice by two hands. He was perfect in his natural creation before the revelation of Quran came. And then God came and created him with the other control, the hand of revelation. Then after he completed him, he said, Ar-Rahmanu, God the Father, the concept is not existing, not God the Son or the Holy Ghost. These concepts are non-existing. God the merciful benefactor. So you are going to separate him from the people. He is Khalifa. We worship him. There is a lot to be said about that. A lot to be said about that. Amira is the title, not Khalifa. I think I have already told some of these brothers in private that it is a mistake. It is a mistake that they call their rulers the Khalifa. They should have continued to call them rulers, call their ruler Amirs, because that is a title for which we have justification from Quran and from the life of the Prophet. Where is the justification in the Quran for the title Amir? God says to us, an order by what has been revealed, command order Amira. And God says to us, order upon the principle of Shura, a mutual consultation. So this is the meeting of the minds, the mature meeting of the best minds discussing the matters and coming up with a consensus, a judgment that all support, right? So that's what God says to do. So the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, no matter how small the task is, if it involves more than one person, choose you and Amir. So from that, we can conclude that we can call ourselves Amir. The biggest Amir, he is over all of us. The President of the United States is far from being the only president. There are a million presidents, more than that, in this country. There are presidents of corporations and other things, right? There are presidents, too. But we have one president who is the President of the United States, voted in by all the people. He is the President of the United States, so we can have our mirrors here and our mirrors there, our mirrors over the sweeping of the floor. When the bakery closed down, who is the Amir for the sweeping? The crumbs up, brother. Alhamdulillah. So you are the Amir. Take charge, brother. You are the Amir. I believe if that had been done, we wouldn't have had so much intrigue, so much undermining, so much trouble for Islam. The Prophet, the perfect man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fourth seer, the all-knowing. And the fourth seer, and he has plans to override all plans that may develop. His plan, as I understand it, as I perceive it, his plan was to bring more attention to this term, Khalifa, because the people were not educated enough back then to understand the term Khalifa. They were just introduced to it, but the full meaning of it had not been given to them. It took them years of study, studying the life of the Prophet, and only a few of them, a select few amongst the top scientists or the top scholars of Islam scientists, Islamic scientists, came to the conclusion that the Prophet is Rajulun Ta'alamun, meaning that he is the perfect man and he is also Rajulun Kamalun, the complete man. He is the complete man. And the complete man is the perfect man. Once God has completed the man as he intended for him to be made on this earth, then he became the perfect man. Perfect means meeting and satisfying the purpose of the desires of whatever. This is perfect. So when the man was met, when the man has met the qualification where he expected from him, pardon me, by God, then he is not only complete, but he is also perfect. The Quran Surah 5, Ayah 3, this day have those who rejected faith give up all hope of their religion, yet fear them not, but fear me. They have I perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. And the indication that Muhammad was perfect was with the proclaiming the Quran to be complete and perfect. On this day I have revealed for you your religion, completed my favor on you, have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor on you. So this is both. He completed his favor on us and perfected it. So completion and perfection go together. The completion is the perfection. So when it is complete, as God intended it, it is perfection. So Muhammad, according to Lady Aisha, was the reflection of the Quran more so than that. Was the living Quran walking amongst us. That's how she described him. That's how the wife described the husband. So if he is, and if he has been the vessel for the last revelation of the Quran, and God has deposited the whole revelation into that vessel called a scholarly lady, Aisha, may God be pleased with her, to identify him as the embodiment of the Quran. That's what she said. See, they didn't speak English. They spoke Arabic. As the embodiment, he is the embodiment of the Quran. You're going to separate him from the people. So he's the Khalifa. We worship him. There is a lot to be said about that. A lot to be said about that. Amir is the title, not Khalifa. So I think I've already told some of these brothers in private that it is a mistake. It is a mistake that they call their rulers the Khalifa. They should have continued to call their rulers Amiras, because that is a title for which we have justification from the Quran and from the life of the Prophet. So where is the justification on in the Quran for the title Amir? God says to us, an order by what has been revealed, command order, Amira. And God says to us, order upon the principle of shura, of mutual consultation. So this is a meeting of the minds, a mature meeting of the best minds discussing the matters and coming up with a consensus, a judgment they all support, right? So that's what God says to do. So the prophet prayers and the peace be upon him said, no matter how small the task is, if it involves more than one person, choose you an Amira. So from that, we can conclude that we can call ourselves Amiras, the biggest Amira. He is over all of us. The president of the United States is far from being the only president. There are a million presidents, more than that, country. There are presidents of corporations and other things, right? There are presidents too. But we have one president who is president of the United States, voted in by all the people. He is the president of the United States. So we can have Amirs here and Amirs there. Amirs over the sweeping of the floor. When the bakery closed down, who is the Amir for the sweeping of the crumbs up, brother? Alhamdulillah. You are the Amir. Take charge, brother. You're the Amir. I believe if that had been done, we wouldn't have had so much intrigue, so much undermining, so much trouble for Islam. Perfect man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the foreseer, the all-knowing, and the foreseer, and he has a plan to override all plans that may develop. His plan, as I understand it, as I perceive it, his plan was to bring more attention to this term, Khalifa, because the people were not educated enough back then to understand the term Khalifa. They were just introduced to it, but the full meaning of it had not been given to them. It took them years of study, studying the life of the Prophet, and only a few of them, a select few amongst the top scientists or the top scholars of Islamic scientists, came to the conclusion that the Prophet is Rajulun Ta'limun, meaning that he is perfect man. And he is also Rajulun Kamalun, the complete man. He is the complete man. And the complete man is the perfect man. Once God has completed his man as he intended for him to be made on this earth, then he became the perfect man. Perfect means meeting and satisfying the purpose or the desire or whatever that is perfect. So when the man has met the qualifications that was expected from him by God, then he is not only complete, but he is also perfect. The Quran Surah 5, Ayah 3, this day have those who rejected faith, given up all hope of your religion, yet fear them not, but fear me. This day have I perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and I have chosen for you Islam as your religion. And the indication that Muhammad was perfect was with the proclaiming the Quran to be complete and perfect. On this day have I revealed for you your religion, completed my favor on you, have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor on you. So this is both. It's completed. He completed his favor on us and perfected it. So completion and perfection goes together. The completion is the perfection. So when it is complete, as God intended it, it is the perfection. So Muhammad, according to Lady Aisha, was a reflection of the Quran more so than that. Was the living Quran walking amongst us? That's how she described him. That's how the wife described the husband. So if he is, and if he has been the vessel for the last revelation of the Quran, and God has deposited the whole revelation into the vessel to cause a scholarly lady, Aisha, may God be pleased with her, to identify him as the embodiment of the Quran. That's what she said. See, they didn't speak English, they spoke Arabic. As the embodiment, it is the embodiment of the Quran. And if his identity, when she was asked to describe him, if his identity then is really the embodiment of the Quran walking, living amongst us, expressing itself amongst us in marvelous words and also with deeds. And if he was that and the Quran was completed and perfect, then he himself also completed and perfect. So the scholars reason that Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, is the answer to an age-long expectation that was on the wise of the world, that man was being moved by his creator, by his shaper, to better and more complete form, that he is not finished. That's why it says, I will be what I am. I shall be what I am. What I am not yet, but I shall be what I am. So who could say that with any more confidence, comfort, than Adam himself? If he knew his creation, Adam is the one who should say that. Adam should say that someday, or somebody, pardon me, may say, who are you, Adam? If Adam knew that he was created to be the Khalifa and that he really was incomplete, but was coming, Adam represents the line of life as continuous. Muhammad is Adam in completion, perfection. So if someone says Muhammad was Adam, am I incorrect? No, I am perfectly correct. Muhammad was Adam in completion, in perfection. He is Adam. So Adam starts with the first creation, the first act of God to create his man. And mind you, Allah did not say to the angel, I have created a man. God never said to the angels, I have created a man. I want you to respect him, God said. I'm going to create a man. I am going to create a Khalifa. If you look at the expression in the Quran, and you as the person who has studied this world, or this word, pardon me, and grammatically rule, for it in grammar, how it is to be explained grammatically, you will know that God was saying not that I created or that I am going to create. By reason, yes, I am going to create. But actually, what God said is I am creating, and I am in the act right now of creating a Khalifa. And the Jasalun. I am making creation. Where am I making him? In heaven. So I'm in the earth. So I'm making him in the earth a Khalifa. That is what says to the angels. But it's okay to translate it. I am going to make in the earth a Khalifa. I'm not saying that we should do away with that translation. But for the teaching, you should make it clear that the verb says, I am making at this time, I am doing this, I am making now, I am making a ruler or a Khalifa in the earth. God spoke to Adam, and Adam was the first step in that work, in that plan. Adam had been himself at that time, the concept God created, and the concept that at that time had all future possibilities in it. Although Adam at that time had not awakened to all of those possibilities, all the future possibilities in him, Adam, when he was made, he became father of all generations, the father of even our leaders, our prophets, the last prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. So Muhammad the eighth led seven prophets in prayer. So we know according to the teachings of the prophet, Adam was the first concept. And out of him, it was possible to have all the other concepts. According to the teachings of the prophet, it was possible to have Jesus, the Christ, peace be upon him. And it was possible to have after him, Joseph, Yusuf, peace be upon them, and Idris, be upon him, and Harun, Aaron, the fifth, peace be upon him, and Musa, Moses, the sixth, peace be upon him, and Abraham, the seventh, peace be upon him, and Muhammad, the completion of all of them, who led them all in prayer. Peace be upon him. He was the eighth, and he led the seventh in prayer. Prayer is the word, the Quran. So this is Islamic teaching. He led the seven in prayer, even his father, Adam. He led his father, Adam, in prayer. He led his father, Abraham, in prayer. What is this telling us? That here is the son, the last son, in the prophetic progression, the last son, he led even his two fathers in prayer. Did he lead them in anything else other than prayer? No, only in prayer. So what is the prayer? The word. What is the word? The Quran. The completion and the perfect that they all were aspiring to reach. Now here is the answer coming to in the last one. And without a doubt, he saw him in a clear horizon. So he led them in prayer to demonstrate to us by way of metaphor, to demonstrate to us that here is the line of growth completed. Here is what Adam wanted. Here is what Christ Jesus wanted. Here is what Joseph, Yusuf wanted. Here is what Idris wanted. Here is what Aaron wanted. Here is what Musa or Moses wanted. Here is what Father Abraham wanted. So this is what they all wanted. They wanted the arrow, the target. And here it is found, fired out of a bow, two traveling along to the destination as though they were one. Reconciled perfectly, hitting the target perfectly. The Quran said he met him on a far horizon. It was a long way from Adam's day, a far horizon. But that spirit finally got there, and the job was complete and perfect, yes. So this is the way we should understand it. Christianity, no threat. What is their justification for withholding this knowledge from their masses? They are slave masters. Intentionally or unintentionally, they are slave masters. So this is the common knowledge that will protect us and allow us to grow and strengthen in quality, numbers, and quality. So this is the knowledge we need. If they would give their followers, I'm speaking of the Muslim world, what I give you, they wouldn't have to worry about Christians coming amongst them, converting Muslims. There would be no threat from Christianity. How can they be a threat from a lower plane to a higher plane? God has been raising this up from lower plane to higher plane. And we claim that Abraham and us sat on the throne or the highest plane. And how can there be any threat from our zone, from these zones beneath us? So this is not to speak and show disrespect or to speak in a disrespectful way of Christianity and Judaism. No, it is not at all. But it is Christianity and Judaism to say that if that's all they have, is what has been written for them, we don't have anything to worry about. Now, God has progressed this thinking and enabled them to extract from what has been revealed to their profitable and see our light as it should be seen in its completion and perfection. We still don't have anything threatening from them. We should make them our allies. We should become allies because we have been blessed by God, all of us, to come to the promised land. Now, the purpose in me dwelling on the concept of this idea of Khalifa like this all this long time is because I believe that it is our strongest starting point when we want to understand what is my existence, little baby. It can teach us something. We say, I'm going to take a bath. But listen to the little baby. Sometimes there is a little alert baby in the house or a young child in the house, and you say bath, and he and the baby will say, body, do I have to wash my body? So body, that's what you are. You are a body. And consciousness in the body consciousness. Talking about Khalifa, we have dwelled on this term all of this time to establish that the starting point for us in understanding what we are and we are and where we should be going is Khalifa and giving us the complete picture that should be the motivation in our life for every interest that we have, for every area or field of interest. Khalifa should be the thing that can we not accomplish if we believe ourselves to be the Khalifa, if we are believers in God as Muslims. God has made everything to give its service to his Khalifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he has made everything in the sky. That means the universe or the external world. He has made everything in the sky, He said, skies, plurals, semi-where, everything in the sky and the world. The Quran says he made it to give its service to his Khalifa. And he puts Khalifa into the plural, meaning that there will be Khalifas, many all over the world. And they will be generations after generations. They will continue just like the generation of man. In fact, the Khalifa is the real line of the generation of man. It is the real line of the generation of man. And it says that he has made us Khalifa or Khalifa in the earth. And then we, if we understand that, and we see that our starting point is Khalifa, something that is not finished. The finish line for the Khalifa is Muhammad, President, the peace be upon him. And with him, all of us, if we follow his revelation, his pattern, his suat, who can motivate us better than God? The starting point is that point as long as we perceive or see ourselves in our ability, in our creative ability, our inherent or creative ability, as long as we see ourselves, native ability, all referring to the same as Khalifa, then we don't need anybody to motivate us. We can motivate us. Who can motivate us better than God? Allah is the best to motivate us. Khalifa is for everyone in the essence of pristine nature. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to us, all of us in our essence, all of us in our pristine nature, in our original capacity, all of us have the potential to be Khalifa on this earth. There are learned Muslims that I have met from different parts of the world, particularly from Pakistan, India, and Palestine, Palestinians, hinted very strongly to me that I will buy or from a Saudi, an Egyptian. They may be, Allah is making a Khalifa in America. I had some agents come up to me and even told me. And I told them the same thing I told you all. The Khalifa is not meant to be one man. We all are Khalifas. And if we have someone who qualifies to be the leader for us all, then that person should simply be called leader for that group or the imam, but not Khalifa. That term is reserved because it is the property of the common person. It is the inheritance of the common person. And if you make it the title for your leader, you take the common person mind out of it as their inheritance. They told me that, and I witnessed inside, they were telling the truth. The Khalifa is being made in America. So the bigger job of light is conditioning the light. So when light comes, it doesn't only show you where you can go, but light makes you feel better inside. Light is revealing. Darkness is burdensome, especially when you want to do things. That's why God says he made the darkness to oppress and made the light to liberate. If light conditions us as well as clears the environment, so we can see where we go, where to go, and how to go about it. What is this conditioning? And I was about to say the conditioning is that it makes you feel better and it makes you less burdensome. It makes you more prepared to act or to move to do the thing that you have to do. It alleviates you. So that is why the light is also called a light. It elevates you. It makes you feel more alive, more active. You've got more energy to go now. And it actually energizes you. Light energizes the spirit. just like the physical, that electricity energizes whatever it's sent into, right? So the light energizes the spirit, and it also gives comfort because with light comes warmth too. So the same light that gives us life also gives us warmth. The sun, the original light, the biggest light we have, the one that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hangs up in the ceiling. And when it is hung up there, all other lights lose their attention. They are not on stage anymore. They still exist, but they have no stage anymore. They hang that big sun up there in the daytime. The sun, what is the role of that light? And this is the light that we should be comparing the light of revelation with. Sun and light. The sun and the light is as a sign, a metaphor in our world pointing us to really the true light, which is the light of revelation, the light of enlightenment, divine enlightenment. It is a sign of that. So let's look at the sun as a symbol now, as a sign of the real thing. So the sun does not only clear the environment for us to see things and approach them more safely, it manages them more safely, etc. All of this, but it also energizes us. It contributes to a happy day for us. Oh, look, how bright. Isn't this a beautiful, bright day? Sun, symbol of happiness. I've heard men of wisdom in ancient scriptures say that originally the sun was not a symbol of light, though it was the light. They said it was a symbol of happiness. The light, the sun comes up, then happiness. The light of the sun meant happiness, the influence was happiness. So this is what is meant to the ancient people. I am told, and I believe it. I believe it. I also did some research. I believe that in ancient times, they saw it mainly as a symbol of happiness, not just light. So we know that it's the element behind all other development. The sun influences weather more so than anything else. The sun acts upon the earth and upon the environment, maybe, not directly all the time. But the sun in its role influences weather more than anything else. It is the focus behind all weather, cold, heat, cold and hot, rain and snow, sleet and everything, tide. We say the moon controls the tide. That's what they say. The moon has no light of its own. The moon has no phrase without the sun. Its phrase are caused by the sun and its path and its relationship to the earth around the sun. So this is how we have to explain it. So we explain whatever happens to the moon, whatever happens to the earth. If we explain it, we have to go to the sun to explain it. Human masnoon, warm soil. So the earth, the womb of for all life. Humas has moon from dying and decaying soil. Now, plants grow not really because of rain. It is an additive. Plants grow because of the sun on the earth. So the earth is the womb. The earth has the germ. But the sun was seeded. Now, before even there was germs in the earth, there was the sun. And the sun in time made the germ for production. Scientific thinkers. I am sure just instantly you see it all, because we know before there was animal life, plant life, animal life, and a lot of dying and decaying finally made human soil. So that's how human soil came into existence. And now from human soil, we get all of the great production, things coming up and dying, death building up the soil, is what has made it possible for us to have the richness of soil, humus, and we have now. God made his man from what? Humus. Not just soil. Humus. Human, mashnoon. He made his man from humus, mashnoon. He made his man from the rich topsoil, fertile soil. An expression, human, humus, mashnoon, humus, mashnoon, warm. So we got it, got a lot of life and a lot of fertility in the soil, and it's hotter than the soil without fertility. You who work with soil, you know, you put your hand in rich soil and you feel it, put it in sand, sand is cooler. So the more fertile soil is warmer. Mashnoon is a play on. It might be offensive to your smell. So some translator says it's from stinky mother. They translate it from stinky mother. That's not an exact translation. That's not a, there was nothing there that says stinky. But it just says that it is warm. It has heat. And it is something that you might despise. But out of that comes the possibility for your life and your future. So what built up all of that humus for the life to be created out of the sun? And the sun appeared to ancient men to rise up, really, from the bowels of the earth. So you see, ancient men was not scientific. So he didn't know where the sun was coming up from. The only thing he saw was that it was coming up. So when he was out at sea, it looked like it dripping some of its fire back into the water. So he thought it was coming out of the water. So if he was at sea, or if he was on an ocean, then the ocean was the east. When it rolled out of the ocean, for thought, the sun was actually rising up out of the water. And it appeared actually to be dropping some of its fire back into the water. I've seen it. It doesn't come up clean and clear, clear of water when it rises up. You see, beautiful sun, the illusion that the sun looks like is dripping some of its fire down into the water as it's coming up. God has made the rising of the sun on ocean front or lake front or things like that to appear to man as actually it is coming up out of the water. And if the land is open, it appears that it is coming up out of the earth itself. The sun is actually coming up out of the earth. So if the land is not open like our city land, it looks like it's just flying across the sky. In any explanation, without science, it is a spooky thing, isn't it? Only science took the spook out of it. So we know how that it is, just an inanimate body of fire, burning material. We know that now. But ancient man did not. He saw, he was in the Thulemat. So, and he was being formed as God formed him to believe that a God is doing this. And this is a sign to me that I'd have to read. So how should I read this, my Lord? He doesn't know his Lord. He doesn't know science either, but he believed in his Lord. He knew that something did it all. How am I to read this? My Lord, he finally came to read it as God intended for him to read it. That's the potential of the human rising up out of the earth. That's the potential of the sun coming up out of the earth to light the earth. Now look at your earth, your body. He also made a sun to rise in your body, in the dark matters of your body. And once your potential rises up and frees itself from the bowels of your earth, your personal body, it will light your world. Yes. It was a sign that God gave ancient man. And then the language became confused in time. And they take the sun to be God. I may say then that the Khalifa can be metaphorically depicted as the sun, couldn't it? The Khalifa, not the S-O-N, but the S-U-N, who must come to understand religion, the life, the history of religion. Because when we are talking about the religion today, we are talking about religion in a complete new picture or a new focus or a view from that man had before, what he called the traditional or classical prophets of God. You know, we talk about Adam. We have history. Man's history bears witness to certain developments in the life of a religious people. And we can go back to a time when religion for man was what the modern world came to call heathenism, paganism, and idol worship. The religion of the early man was not corrupt. Paganism, idolatry, declined in religion. I believe that what we call paganism and heathenism, idol worship, I believe that this represents a decline in religion, but I believe that the original man did have what we may call, for what of a better term, primitive religion. But his primitive religion was not a corrupt thing like we find in much of the paganism or heathenism. I believe that his religion was the best that could come about in his time, then human conditions and circumstances. And I believe that he saw, as we just explained earlier things, in the environment as messengers telling themselves of the God behind it all. He saw these things as messengers, the sun as a message, giving him a message, a tree, or a particular tree that attracted him, his attention, more than the other, as a message, giving him a message. So Khalifa is sun. Now, it is interesting to me to note that in some language, S-U-N, the sun in nature, natural, or of the nature gender. In some language is masculine, and some language is feminine. Now, if my reasoning that I'm establishing early is correct, that the sun may be used as a sign or a symbol of Khalifa, the potential that is in us, that once it frees or releases it, becomes the light of our world. If I am right, correct in that, then look how well this language problem supports what I'm saying. It can't give a gender to the sun. One language says that it is a she. Another language says it's a he. Another language says it's nature. Potential in our potential. We are both males and females. The woman not the cause of the downfall of man. Isn't this the same problem we have with our own self, this sex problem we have? We can't decide whether we should be men or women, female or male, or unisex, or what. But in our potential, we are both. And the best rulers, as I said earlier, he must have both in him, the sensitivity of both in him, in order to be a good ruler. Now, that takes a lot of the macho out of the man, doesn't it? Well, look at your body. If you are a normal man, come up naturally and normally, the right muscle is a little stronger than that of the left one. So you have a male side and a female side. Brain stronger intentionally on so-called left weaker body side. So actually you have a female side and a male side. But the scientist says most of your best health for your intellect comes from the left side and not from the, from this right side. Isn't that what they say? So the weaker side physically is the strongest side when it comes to intellectual integrity. And you know the beginning of the intellect for Adam didn't come until he had a wife. I'm talking straight. Man, actually facts of history, of language, of scripture, etc. He didn't even know he had eyes until he got a wife. You say, oh, but that wife caused him to lose his sight. No, he just had to have a night in which to rest so he could wake up and have more energy for another day and a better day, because each time he went to sleep, when he woke up better, more prepared for the day, better prepared for the day. And in Islam, the wife wasn't the cause of it. The wife isn't the partner with the serpent in Islam. The serpent is acting by himself. And he and the serpent is the deceiver, both of male and female. So he is causing the problem for both of them. And the woman is not helping him. She is not his partner in Islam. Understand that, Baptist brothers, who is teaching Islam now. Man, two stages, natural possibility and revelation. Now, the point that I want to make here is this, that religion has taken man to two stages. Religion of man, and the first stage was man in the hand of God that represented the natural possibility before revelation. Religion being began with Adam, the first man. And the first man with us means the beginning of the strain in the intellect for enlightenment. So actually, the beginning for us is the beginning of revealed religion, revealed to Adam. So God revealed to Adam, Adam, man of human nature, not sin. He failed to learn not to commit bigger obstacles in the future. So God revealed to Adam because God says, when I have breathed into him of my spirit, that means that the gift of inspiration, divine inspiration, revelation. And God said, and he came up a word, and he repented. The word was the word of revelation, and the respected upon me, and he repented for his wrong, and God accepted his repentance. So Adam is not the man of sin. He is the man of human nature. He is capable of making errors. He is capable of sinning. But that's what God created him for. God created him to learn by experience, grow in by experience, to not repent the mistakes he made, but to learn from them so he doesn't make them in the future and be prepared. So perhaps to avoid even bigger obstacles in the future, because he already met with the smaller one that alerted him better or alerted him more. So we see it as a learning process, what they call the weakness in man. We see it as a component of his strength. If we didn't have also the capacity for error along with the capacity, we wouldn't progress. Angels, our capacity is to be perfect, not to error. So the angels has only one capacity, the capacity to be perfect. They don't have the capacity to error. It makes error. But it wasn't the angels that God said. He put degree over the upper man. It was he, the Khalifa, that he said. He made a degree over the angels. I wouldn't exchange this human nature for anything in creation, nothing on earth or in the heaven. I know that might disappoint you. It is not in my nature to want to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bigger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is best, everything. But it is not in my nature to want to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most attractive place for me in the place of human life and possibilities, human life and human possibilities. That's the most attractive place for me. It is not in my nature. Fool and revealed wisdom wants to be God. Now that I understand God and the world, it is not in my nature to even want to approach in any small degree. Means also that you are supposed to monitor their state and you see their state not pleased or unrest. It should make you question what you are doing. And they will be a signal to you to get back on the right track or to come away from something you've gotten involved in, etc. So this is how it works, a whole all-important part together for the success of the whole. And this is a true democracy when all the people are inclined in the shaping and promoting or the direction of the interests of the community. That makes for a true democracy. As a philosopher, we may go a little bit further with this idea now and say that even though, because philosophically, though it doesn't only act or make conclusions upon what is established, but it makes conclusions upon what is even alluded to or what is possible, maybe even though it be in the hereafter, maybe that far away now since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even thought he favored just a few of us to realize so much of that capacity and that potential that he has given us, that we are able to rise to the top. He has deposited that in every single one of us. Every single one of us has it. So we have it, or he or she has it. Now the idea for the society then must acknowledge that. So in the idea, the social idea, or the political idea, whatever we want to call it, that we have to give us a sense or a perception of our society, how it should be operated. The language should also say that each person, male and female, though they don't express or manifest the ability that God deposited in every human being. The law, the land, the authority of this land, the law, the community, the authority of this community recognizes each and every person as being equal to the top person in the society based upon what God intended for you. You are equal. So I'm not to see any person, male or female, no matter how less learned they are than I am, or no matter how bad their behavior is, I'm not to see them as an animal or as a beast of burden that I'm to take and put all of the physical burden on, make him do all the dirty things, take the broom, sweep. I'm supposed to be worried about his state, and I'm supposed to be coming up with ideas to reach his intellect, to turn his intellect on, so we never give up on any member of our society. The rights of every member is the same right that each of us may claim. So we are to treat them with respect. And if we see them in a bad condition, we are not to put them in an oppressive situation where they can never come out of it, where they think that God intended for them to do nothing but sweep up the trash at the end of the day, or to wash the pot, the pans, at the end of the day. We are supposed to be hurt by that brother's situation, by him being locked into a groove or a pattern like that. It should hurt us, and we should be trying to reach his intellect to let him know that greater things await you, brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means much more than this for you. We should have this kind of compassion on the people. And if we have that kind of appreciation for each individual person on an equal level with the best of us, and we have that interest in freeing them for greater possibilities in their life, then we are really doing a job of Khalifa. We are really doing the job of Khalifa. The community interest is bigger than the individual interest. The individual possibilities work with the community or with the environment and the community to bring the environment and the community to its better future. But the individual can't do it alone. The individual can't go anywhere without community interest, because the community interest is the second component. It's individual interest. That's the number one component in the individual interest inherently. And the community possibility in the individual himself. He has inherently, naturally put in him by his creator the possibility for the community future. Individual like a seed. So he is like the seed, and the seed has to be planted in the field. The field must be an environment or the content for his future possibility. So if we don't alert him and awaken him and place him in community interest, he has not much of a future. So we have to do two things. We have to, as clear as we possibly can, perceive the individual as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for him to be perceived in his concept, and then perceive the community interest as best we can based upon Quran and the life of our Prophet, present, and peace be upon him, perceive the interest, and they bring them to be reconciled. Say, brother, you are a possibility for greater things. You really are the future of the earth in seed form, but the seed must be placed in the earth, and the earth will feed your seed. The sun gives spirit that seed, gives spirit to it, spirit for it, energizes it, and also applies it with another form of energy. They call it, it's green, isn't it? Green, growth. That's what green is, growth. And we know that it is the way the trees grow, by the sun having a chemical effect on the leaves. And the leaves feeding the tree, and the trees, the roots, taking up water and also carbon. The tree is mostly carbon, isn't it? So the body is mostly carbon. So that carbon is mostly coming from the leaves, if it's correct. If I remember my science correctly, it comes from that chemical process that produces by the sun's effects on the leaves that makes them green in energy. Also, the chlorophyll enables them to take on and bring about the process of changing that energy to carbon, the wood. Photosynthesis, that's what they call it, a big bird. So that's how the trees grow, not just from the root, but also from the leaf. The leaves breathe and receive energy from the sun. They are taking in the air, carbon dioxide is taking in and also feeding from the sunlight by the process of photosynthesis. And that's how the tree is able to get that big body, big strong body. All plants must have leaves or some shoots to come up that will receive food from the sun, right? If they don't, can't grow. You know, the mushroom, it grows in the dark. But it looks like a womb baby to me. It doesn't look like a baby out of the womb to me. It looks like a baby. It looks like a womb baby to me. I don't want to be a mushroom. I'll tell you that. Alakallahu ladeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means if it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise Imam, Professor Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.